Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We have been responding and dialoguing with the movie Courageous as it pertains to family and fatherhood. So we want to continue that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, start at verse number 2. Paul writes this to the church. It says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." When I was born, April 21st, 1974, my father was 49 years old. He would be 50 that December, December 10th. By the time I was a teenager, my dad was in his 60s, and he was starting to suffer and was in failing health. He had a stroke about 1985 or 86. I was about 11, 12. I don't have a lot of memories of my dad throwing the football around or playing basketball. He was much older at the time, and you know, he just couldn't do that. I do have memories of my dad showing up at some of my football games and basketball games. Now, again, because he was in failing health, he couldn't come to all of my games, and so the fact is, I can almost picture almost every instance that he came to one of my games, because it was kind of a special event for me when my dad showed up. My junior year, we made the state playoffs. Again, my dad was in poor health, and so he couldn't attend a lot of games. But prior to that playoff game, it was our first playoff game of that year. He and my mother told me that they were going to attend the game. I was pretty geeked. I was pretty hyped that my dad was coming to the game. The game started, and I looked around, and I didn't see him. I was having a terrible game. Yeah, that's me, right? I've always wondered if it was because I was expecting my dad to be there and he didn't show up, that I was having a bad game. And I remember I was on the bench resting when I saw my parents walk in the gymnasium. Man, I was so hyped up. And I remember my coach called me, he said, "Deion," you know, called me Frazier, "get in there." So I go in, and man, I was just so happy to see him there. And hey, give me that ball. Man, I was so happy when he came in the gym. And I just knew that I wanted to do something. And I remember I was just kind of dribbling and you know, just kind of doing my thing. And I looked over at him as if to say, "Yo, this next one, this for you, Pop." And man, I remember getting in, and I got up and I just pulled up a nice little J and shot an air ball. Then I glanced back over at my dad, and he's like this, you know. But we won the game. There's something about just being present, right? There's something about being there. As we continue to consider family, fatherhood, and otherwise, we continue to highlight the dilemma plaguing our children today. At the heart of the challenge in this courageous family conversation is the idea of availability. Now, I'm not asking you to be a superhero. I'm asking you to make yourself available. Available to God to do super things in your life. I'm not asking you to quit your jobs. I'm asking you to not let your job consume you as to make you unavailable to your family. I'm not asking you to turn your family to Waltons. I'm asking you to make your family available for God to mold you and shape you into His image. I'm not asking everyone to rush to children's services to adopt a child. I'm asking you to make yourself available to the opportunities right here in this church and in this community. It's the difference between being absent and being present. See, admittedly, much of what I have been preaching regarding family and fatherhood has been related to the deficiency in fatherhood and parenting and all the ill effects. This morning, I want to turn to what it means to be present. This morning, I want to talk about presence. I want to talk about fathers that are present, have been present, and will remain present. Like a letter I read on this website dedicated to fathers from a lady named Renee, who wrote this about her father. 6 years ago, we lost our mother, the pillar of strength in our family, who was our dad's best friend. Just when we thought our world was falling apart, this amazing man somehow was able to hold it all together. He was there for my brother and me and put us before all else, even when the world he had known with her for 27 years had fallen to pieces. In the generation that our dad grew up in, communicating with your children or giving them hugs seemed to be the biggest of challenges. Dad did this even if it meant embarrassing us in front of our friends. He guided us to a place where we were all able to heal together as a family. Our mother would be proud of our father for picking up the pieces and putting them back together so we could continue as the family we once were. I suspect that if I opened the floor up this morning and in here, that we would hear some similar stories from some of you. And I would love to talk to you about some of your fathers. But I need to take some time to talk about my father. No, let me rephrase that. I want to spend some time this morning talking about our father. I'm so glad that the Apostle Paul reminded the churches that he corresponded with, Corinth and Ephesus and Colossae and these churches. I'm so glad that Paul continually reminded those churches that the God they served was also their father. He would refer to God as father throughout his letters, throughout his writings. And what a comforting and reassuring reminder that the God of this universe is also God the Father. The same Father of Jesus Christ, our Savior, is our Father. Paul, in his salutation to the Corinthian Christians, writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." There is an assumption here. The assumption is that if you are in Christ Jesus, if you are part of the body of Christ, if you are a part of the church, no matter what your family status, no matter if you're married, divorced, adopted, or even orphaned, you have a father. Romans chapter 8 says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. This is Romans 8, 12. And verse 13, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory, by the Spirit we cry, Abba, Father, which was an Aramaic way of saying, Daddy. Are you hearing what the apostle is saying? God is our Father. Not convinced? Listen to Jesus, who said, when you pray, say, Father. The invitation by Jesus himself proves to be the most compelling reason to identify our God as Father. And in an age when we are struggling to embrace the real and true meaning of fatherhood in our families, we would do good to take our cue from God the Father. We take our cue from a Father who comforts. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our troubles. We have a God who feels and feels for us. He does not disassociate himself from our lives. He's not a bystander. He intends to get involved. It's the reason that Jesus demonstrated that in all things, go to the Father. The ministry of Jesus was marked by several highlights, but perhaps the most prevalent highlight was his relationship to the Father and his insistence on praying and asking things of his Father. And he would repeat it over and over again, his relationship to the Father. And we would find him time and time again in prayer with his Father. In John 17, we find Jesus in one of his final moments on this earth, pleading with his Father for himself, for his disciples, and for the future church. He prayed to the Father because he believed his Father was involved. Do you see Jesus, who walked around and knew that he had a connection with his Father. He knew that he could speak with his Father. He knew that his Father was there. He knew that his Father was present. He knew that his Father was involved. And he has invited us to be in communication, to be in communion with this Father. As we consider fatherhood or parenthood, we need to take our cue from a Father like God who makes himself to be available, present, giving us his presence to give us comfort, guidance, and the compassion. We have a Father who disciplines. Proverbs 3, that wisdom literature, verse number 11 says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son he delights in. The Hebrew writer would all but echo that wisdom literature. In chapter 12, verse number 7, he says, endure hardships as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. Now, how much more should we submit to the Father of our spirit and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. I grew up with a hard mother, church. And I need to call her this afternoon and say, Mom, thanks for being hard on me. because had you not been hard on me, I might not have stood before some wonderful people preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. Why does God discipline? Because of his love for us. Why is discipline necessary? Because it builds. It builds character. It produces righteousness and peace. And our Father disciplined because he is intimately involved in the writing of our personal narratives. And as fathers and as parents, we need to be intimately involved and absolutely desirous to be involved in the writing of the narratives of our children. That means saying no when we need to say no. This means explaining the consequences of misbehavior. This means following through with the consequences. And this means being consistent and fair. We have a Father who loves. I just stated earlier that the Lord disciplined those whom he loves. His love for us is so great. The psalmist would say that. He would say in 100 verse 5, "For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." The psalmist would say in Psalm 117, 2, that "For great is his love toward us and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." Paul would write to the Roman church in Romans 5, verse 5, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. The prophet Zephaniah would preach and say this, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Church, there is no way that we will truly understand the importance or the impact of fatherhood if we don't allow ourselves to embrace the fatherhood of God. And church, I acknowledge that some of us in this body might have trouble embracing the perfect Father in God because of our own pain and experiences we had with our earthly fathers. And I know that some of us might have disappointments because of the tremendously high standard set by God when it comes to being a father. Some of us men think that there's no way that we could measure up, and we become discouraged. And I believe that nothing would make the evil one happier than to trap you and hold you in a pattern of despair and hopelessness. So this morning, I want to invite you to dance. To dance with the Father. Chrissy and I's wedding, got married at the church I was working at, and we didn't have the reception where the father dances with the daughter. I don't know if some of you experienced that. I don't know how my wife feels about not doing that. I know my wife doesn't like to dance. That would have been quite a sight to watch old Fritz, that's my father-in-law, dancing with his daughter. But I don't know if you've been to a wedding and you've saw that, a father dancing with his daughter. It's such a beautiful sight. This morning, church, I want to invite you as a child of God to dance with your Father. Hear those words of the prophet Zephaniah again. "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." There's a scene in the movie Courageous that was incredibly moving, especially as the movie progresses. Now, if you've seen the movie, you will know why the scene is moving after watching the entire film. If you haven't seen the movie, I don't want to spoil it for you, but I want to show you this scene. Let's watch this clip.
All right, I'm just standing right here on the curb. You got 5 minutes, cabana boy.
Hey, can you bring me a lollipop?
Yes, I will, sweetheart. I'm not getting you one.
Oh, Daddy, turn it up. I love this song.
Oh, I've heard this before. Who is it? Oh, sweetie, what are you doing?
Come dance with me.
Emily, this is a parking lot. This is not where people dance.
Hey, please, just for this song, come dance with me, Daddy, please.
Emily, people can see us.
That's okay. They don't mind, Daddy. They don't care, Daddy. It's just...
Tell you what. You dance right here, and I'll watch.
Okay. Okay. When you're ready to dance, this is what you do. First, you put your right hand around my waist like this. Then you hold your other hand out like this. Then we sway back and forth to the music. When we're together. And you can spin. Are you sure you don't want to dance?
I'm dancing with you in my heart, sweetie.
Emily, you're trying to teach your dad how to dance.
He won't dance with me.
That's because he's a fuddy-duddy with no sense of style.
All right, everybody in the car. Mr. Fuddy-Duddy's leaving.
It's an incredibly, again, moving scene if you watch the entire film. And there's something that's projected there, this idea that kids give you an opportunity to do something like that that's so intimate. Don't waste that opportunity. I'd like to flip it this morning. That God is standing here this morning, and he's inviting you to dance with him. And we can dance with the Father. The Father in this clip might regret not dancing with his daughter. So how much more disastrous would it be if we spurn the invitation to dance with the Father? So that's the call this morning. Dance with your Father. Let him rejoice over you with his singing. You ever watch the bride dance with his father? And as they're dancing, you see the father talking to his daughter. He's rejoicing with his daughter. Don't you want to have that with the father? Don't you want to dance with him and let him rejoice over you with singing? Dance with your father. And during your dance, tell him about your life. Dance with the Father. And during your dance, tell him how much you need him. Dance with the Father. And during your dance, tell him what's broken. Dance with the Father. And during your dance, express your love for him. Dance with the Father. And during your dance, ask him for help in your relationships. Dance with the Father. And during your dance, tell him of your need for him in your parenting. Dance with the Father. And during your dance, tell him the need for his help in being a better spouse, being a better sibling, being a better child. Dance with the Father. You may find yourself walking away from that dance, feeling compelled on occasion after occasion, finding yourself like the Apostle Paul, who wrote this to the Ephesian church. He says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You know, my father had his limitations. He couldn't come to all my basketball games. He couldn't shoot hoops with me. And if he tried, I'd probably try to dunk on him or something. But he had his limitations. God has no limitations. The Lord has no limitations. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more, exceedingly more, than all we would ever ask or even imagine. Church, this morning, I'm inviting you to dance with the Father and to embrace how wide and how deep his love is for you. And in terms of our families and in the realm of us being better fathers, better mothers, better siblings, better spouses. If we're to understand what that means in this world, we've got to understand God's love that's out of this world. I want to invite you to dance with the Father as we sing this song, All I Need Is You. I pray that you are comfortable in expressing to God your personal need for him in your life. Our Father is not absent. He's present. He's right here, right now. So I encourage you right now, right here, to sing to him. Sing of your need for him. If during this song you are so moved to share with the body a special need, a cry out to God that you want us to share in that. You want us to share in a burden. You want us to share in something you're dealing with. If you want us to share in a joy, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, we want to share in that. As we sing this song, we want to invite you to come. Let's stand and let's sing.